May the Lord help us to commence this service by singing hymn 678. There's not a man that's born of God, but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Hymn 678. May the Lord help us as we read from his holy word. The epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and afterwards a few verses from chapter 6. The The Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And now we please turn to chapter 6, the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, and we commence reading at verse 10 down to verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. The Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
Lord Almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thy help now to come before thee, thou who art an almighty and heart-searching God, a holy God, a righteous God, yet thou art gracious and merciful. And O Lord, we would plead with thee for help, for that strength sufficient. O Lord, do grant us thy help, we pray. Do grant me that strength in the voice. But, O Lord, we do beg above all that whether the voice of man be very weak, and truly it is, but, O Lord, may thy voice come with power, thy word with power into our hearts, our souls, our lives, that there may be that testimony that thou hast been in the midst with us this day. And, O Lord, there may be the evidence of it in the coming days and through our life, so long as we are spared, that it may be seen that we have been with Jesus. O Lord, we do pray for thine almighty help. Reveal unto us thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O thou Holy Spirit of truth, do guide us into all truth, as the truth is in Jesus. That we may see his beauty, his glory, his mercy, his grace. O Lord, do give us those eyes of faith and hope, and that we may lay hold upon so great a salvation. And O Lord, do grant us that view by faith of the prospect that is awaiting those that are in thy dear Son. O Lord, that we knew it more. For, O Lord, if we were truly heaven-bound in our souls, in our thoughts, in our heart, O Lord, we would not go in the ways of sin and covetousness, pride, ignorance, foolishness, that we are so often wont to go in. But, O Lord, that we had that clearer view of that prospect, clearer view of Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, who has made the way of salvation, and art the Good Shepherd, to bring Thy people through. O Lord, that we may have our eyes turned away from beholding vanity, and that we may behold Thee, and by faith, the heavenly Jerusalem. And, O Lord, whilst we are here below, may we be witnesses and testify of that which we have seen by faith, and that which we know by faith is set before us. And, O Lord, that which we know from Thy word, that Thou wilt come and judge this earth, and that each one of us must give an account before Thee, before the great white throne. And, O Lord, we do pray for Thine almighty help now, as we come to Thy word in the preaching of Thy word. And, O Lord, we do pray for this church and congregation and those from other churches that are visiting. We do pray for Thy gracious hand to be upon each. And, O Lord, how we do need the outpouring of the Spirit. And, O Lord, that we may know Thy gracious hand now, to help our friends, the deacons here, in their responsibility and their burden before Thee. And, O Lord, we do pray there may be that godly increase granted in the church, that there may be a delivering from darkness into light, an outpouring of Thy precious love and mercy, may constrain one and another to come forward and profess openly Thy holy name. And, O Lord, we do pray there may be an adding unto the congregation and the church from this village. There may be those wrought upon by Thy gracious hand to be brought to repentance and to seek mercy. O Lord, we do beg that there may be Thy gracious hand upon many to come. And, O Lord, those that have been accustomed to be here, but have gone away, have not the desire, have not the heart to be here. Other things coming in, other duties that are not necessary, interfering. And, O Lord, Thou knowest those who have the necessary matters, those cares and concerns and callings that are of Thee and are of necessity, those that are caring for those that are sick, or in whatever way that Thou hast called one and another, we do pray that Thou hast be with them and those that are unable to come. But, O Lord, do plant in the hearts of those that could be here that true spirit of repentance unto life. And, O Lord, we would pray for the children and the young people, that Thou hast be pleased to guide them and direct them. Do watch over those that are caring for the little ones this evening, and that each one may be taught of Thee. O Lord, do bless the young people. Do guide them according to Thy word. Do help them, do preserve them through their studies, through their time at school, as some go on to college or university. And, O Lord, do be with those as they go forth into life, in courtship and in marriage, in the bearing of children. O Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst be gracious to each one. O Lord, may there be much in prayer to know Thy calling, not the call of those around them, or the call of the flesh, the call of the world, but, O Lord, the call of Thy holy word by the Spirit. And, O Lord, we do pray for the sending forth of Thy word to the four corners of this earth. Indeed, may it be pleased Thee to grant a desire for Thy word in this land, as it is desired in other lands. But, O Lord, wherever it is desired, we do pray that thou wouldst make a way for thy word to go into the hands of those who are begging for thy word but have not a means to obtain it, humanly speaking, but look unto thee to provide. O Lord, we do pray for the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society and all others that would labour thus in sending forth of thy word, in the translation of thy word. Do raise up those that would have those spiritual qualifications and calling, those abilities given unto them of thee, for so vital and necessary a work, so weighty a work, but so blessed a work, to proclaim, to translate and send forth thy word. And, O Lord, we do pray for the ministers of the gospel in this our land, those known to us, those unknown, but all known to thee. That thou wouldst help and favour those in sickness, in old age. Those in affliction, do strengthen them, do restore those that are in the hand of affliction and trial, that they may be restored to the ministry of thy word. And do raise up more labourers, may there be a sending forth of more labourers. O Lord, there may be that exercising according to thy will of younger men in this land, in our churches, to go forth and proclaim the everlasting truth of the gospel, to hear the call and to go forth. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast be pleased to grant pastors in the churches according to thy holy word and thy holy order. And look in mercy upon our nation. O Lord, how needy we are that thou wouldst come again with power of the Spirit, for only truly the power of the gospel by the Spirit can do us any good. Then, O Lord, we do beg, do strengthen us. Do strengthen me in weakness to speak. Do touch my lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. Do touch the hearts of each one here, we pray. I would thank thee that we have thy word before us. We have so great a salvation set before us. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. O Lord, do grant us that true spiritual rejoicing in thy holy name. And O Lord, we pray now for help. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746.
May the Lord help us this evening to come once more to his holy word. And in particular, our desire to speak from those words we find in verses in chapter 6 of Ephesians, in verses 10 through to 13. That which has been particularly upon my spirit is verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Here we have in this closing part of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians that warning. Yet, there is a glorious promise. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There is a spiritual exhortation that the strength that we have so much need of is in the Lord. And where there is the commandment of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the calling of the Lord, there will be that warfare, that opposition. There will be that which will withstand. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. And as the Apostle Paul comes to the conclusion of his epistle to the Ephesians, the chapter before sets out in many practical ways the way of godliness. We have marriage. We have that right order of husbands and wives. We have that in the family with children and parents. We have that right order between servants and masters. And then he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Whatever our calling is before God, be assured the devil will oppose it. And it will be a most bitter opposition. And the devil and his agents, and that includes the old man of sin within, the evil heart, that each one of us has and will have to the day of our death. The temptations of the adversary, the world, all the attractiveness of it, the lusts of the flesh, the vices, the things that are dressed up as so beautiful and so valuable, but are in reality but trash. All those things shall fight against you. Thus the Apostle Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We have much need of that strength in the Lord. And in the power of his might. There is a promise, it's his might, not our might. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore go, that is in respect to the Great Commission in going forth and teaching all nations. But the principle is the same, whatever that calling is. That we should be mindful that the risen Lord has all power in heaven and in earth. And by his word we must go forth in faith. And he who has commanded and called shall provide all that is needful to keep us in the way, to preserve us. And we have the whole armour of God set before us here. We have need of that armour. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't just have the violence of the devil, but there's the wiles, the trickery, the deceit, the subtlety. I was only speaking with our brethren over the meal this tea time concerning the church in France. How the violence of the Church of Rome was poured against that church in the awful persecutions. And how eventually in the 17th century all churches were to be destroyed, all believers to be either killed, forced into submission, or to flee the country. Yet, through all those fires, the French church, the Huguenots, were yet preserved, and indeed it purified them from many errors and compromise that had crept in. But there came a time, suddenly, when the subtlety of the devil came. The French Revolution, there seemed to be that liberty from the Church of Rome. But yet all the mottos of worldly wisdom, human rights, the rights of man, modern thinking. And as the historians write, that did far more damage to that church than ever the violence of the Pope and his agents. I think, is there not a parallel with us today? What damage has there been done in our nation, in the churches, through worldly wisdom? Affluence, materialism, following after that which everybody else is doing, rather than searching the word of God and be persuaded before God that it is the calling of God to us. Rather looking at what this man does, what this person does, what that church does, rather than the searching of the holy word of God upon our knees. How supposed human rights and all that goes with it has wrought such destruction in our land. How there has been a turning away from the pure word of God and the holy word of God, and following after vanities, whether it be the violence of Satan or the wiles and trickery of Satan. We have need of the whole armour of God. You have need of the whole armour of God, and I say that most specifically, we need it personally. I think I might have said this, whether here or elsewhere, but I'll repeat it. It's no good just looking at the armour in a glass case, as you might go around the museum or go to Windsor Castle or somewhere else, and there's the armour. Somebody else's armour. There it is in a case to be looked at. Armour is no good in a battle unless you're wearing it yourself. It's no good trusting in your parents' armour or your wife's armour, your husband's armour. Or your minister's armour, or the deacon's armour. Have need of putting it on yourself. Otherwise, one, even in natural things, would be an utter fool to rush into the battle, satisfied that somebody else is wearing the armour, but not to put it on oneself. And if we think we can avoid the warfare and the battle, if you think you can avoid that, you're deceived. For even if, through the deceitfulness of sin, and the Lord in his sovereignty permitting you to go, I trust it shall not be so of any here, but permitting you to go the way to hell, and not knowing anything of this warfare in this life, there shall be the knowing of that warfare when the Lord shall come, as we read in Revelation. Where the Lord Jesus Christ shall come riding upon that great white horse, and that sword that goeth forth from his mouth shall slay the nations at that last great battle. We're either with him or against him. or rather he is with us or against us. There's no in-between. We may read in history of wars between certain nations or groups of nations, and there are those other nations that were neutral. Well, there's no neutral parties in this warfare. I know there may be those who will try and, as it were, coast through. Those that will try and, as it were, have the best of both worlds, as the saying goes, have the best of this life and hope they can have the best of the life to come as well. But that's a deception too, a wile of Satan. To have ease here below and eternal ease in heaven, it is a deception. To have all the goods of this world and the love of it, and to have Christ too, it is a deception. Where do these deceptions come? From Satan. And our evil hearts are all too willing to go along with it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Or as in the translator's note in the margin, the words may also be rendered wicked spirits. In high places. Just as when we bless God, there is the Holy Spirit, so there are wicked spirits. We read of those who succumbed unto them. The Lord gave over to them, like King Saul. That evil spirit came upon him, and it was of the Lord. Now that makes one tremble. But the Lord permitted it to be so. And it is there for our warning. With whom was King Saul wrestling? He was fighting against David, the Lord's anointed. And the Lord... the one upon whom the Lord's love was placed. David, a type of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. How Saul was found wrestling against him as he wrestled against David in the Lord's anointing. He was fighting against the King of Glory. And the Lord sent that evil spirit to trouble him. There's a warning to you and I. Not to fight against God's anointed. Not to fight against the calling of God. Not to fight against the Lord's people. Not to be found wrestling with flesh and blood. Especially those who are redeemed in the precious blood of Christ. Oh, that these warnings may be a blessing, be blessed to us in that the Lord gives us repentance, lest any of us be found fighting against God. Then we be left to an evil spirit. For surely to fight against God, against his word, is to court danger of the most dangerous eternal spiritual danger. And I say this as a warning, especially to younger friends, as it is so much today, and perhaps older ones too. I don't know what things you read, what you do in private. The Lord knows. But in our day, there is so much which is just devilment, witchcraft. We have it in the astrology, the horoscopes, all manner of forms of various supposed healings, all sorts of things that are dressed up, which are truly of the occult, that which is of the devil. You can scarcely go in a shop, any visit to a library to look at what books are put for children, particularly teenagers, if there isn't something that's evil, wicked, violent. It's a surprise, alas, in our day. Look in the newspapers at what vileness there is. So much soul-destroying devilment in our land and about us, but it's dressed up so prettily, so nicely. The wile of the devil. Well, I mentioned at the Sunday school this afternoon, and having been in India in the past month and seen some of the idols that were there to be seen and the awfulness of them, so many of them literally painted red, the colour of the devil, yet people worshipping them. But how the devil is so subtle and turn appears as the angel of light. Satan transforms himself into this angel of light, that false light, that deceitful light, to make things look so desirable. And our carnal hearts are so curious as well, particularly in our younger days, curious to try something out, curious to in these things. Well, when I was younger, thankfully, some of these things I never tried out personally. I'm very thankful I didn't, but I met somebody who did. Who tried for fun to communicate with the dead. It's surprising what goes on if you read J.C. Philpott's Answers to Inquiries. In the Gospel Standard in the 1850s, somebody wrote complaining about a Baptist church in which people were doing such things even then. These things need a warning given. Well, this other student who I'd met who had indulged in such things, he did it for fun. But what so terrified him was that they got an answer. They thought they were just doing this for a bit of fun, but it didn't last as fun for very long. Terrifyingly, there was that answer. And he said he'd never been so frightened in ever his life. And afterwards, there wasn't any sense of joy, but rather the opposite. A sense of depression, a temptation he should take his own life. A sense of horror and darkness. The devil sets up these things, dresses them up as fun, as interesting. Something different, something to be tried out, something that everybody else does. There's no harm in it. May the Lord give us that grace to shun even so much as the suggestion of involvement in such things. And especially younger friends, to flee. Not just to flee from the devil, but to flee unto the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, that we may have the power of the Spirit upon us to flee unto Him. Put on the whole armour of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Never make fun of the devil in that sense. We see it around about as people make some joke about the devil. See it in advertising, seeing it in literature, all sorts, children's books, all manner of things. Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This verse, when we look at it, it tells us that we have to wrestle against such. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, one like ourselves, which we may have a hope that we are stronger, or which we may train. Not that I suggest that you do this, but those that engage in that sport of wrestling, they train, they seek to be stronger that they may win over against their opponent. But we're told here that this is not a wrestling with flesh and blood. It will not profit us or gain us if we train our bodies or our minds ever so much. We We have need of that strength that is in the Lord. As we read elsewhere, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is a principle. Each one of us, each one of you, we need that grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that strength of the Lord, if we are to withstand. The Lord is faithful who has promised. We see we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And thus we cannot hope to succeed or to stand just by seeking to train ourselves in the body or in the mind. We have need of the Lord and Saviour. Also about wrestling. And I was most struck that the hymn that we just sung mentioned that wrestling. And we'll come to it in respect of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And our first hymn was concerning warfare. But wrestling, it is very close. Again, I don't encourage you to observe such wrestling matches. But it is something, the illusion that the Apostle Paul gives here is of that very close, the closest of combat. It's not warfare at a distance. It's not standing some miles away and firing at a distance. It's not even almost hand to hand. But wrestling is almost, it is literally being embracing and being embraced by the enemy in that combat, that closest of combat. And that wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. And that closeness, well, we have that in the warfare within. Between the old man of sin, the carnal flesh, and the new man of grace, born again by the Spirit. What a warfare there is there. It is very close. And the devil, how close the devil comes. Comes straight into the mind, to the affections. Those evil spirits to tempt. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a closeness of that warfare. And how are we to be delivered? Well, the Lord has set forth in his inspired word, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. We are exhorted to take the whole armour of God, to take unto you the whole armour of God, not part of the armour of God, the whole armour of God. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The Lord sets forth before us that armour. But let us consider first, how is it that that armour is effective? We read the first chapter in Ephesians for a good reason, because we read there of principalities and powers and might and dominion. There in chapter 1, and in verse 21. But here we read that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen far above them, that he has gained the victory over them. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, saith the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord. And the apostle sets forth that holy desire that we might know the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right, his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. There is the power and the glory that is in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And outside of Christ, if we have not Christ, we are naked, defenceless. If we have not the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we have not life. If you have not the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, you have not life. It doesn't matter what else you have. It doesn't matter which minister you have, which chapel you go to. It doesn't matter anything. If you have not Christ, you have not life. If you are not in Christ Jesus, you have no defence against the powers of darkness. It is in Christ Jesus that we have that glorious defence and preservation. And Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, the eternal Word of God, we have revealed in Holy Scripture that way which is right. We have those warnings concerning the ways that are wrong. That is why the Apostle, in his list of armour, and that word in the original signifies not just defensive armour, but offensive, like the sword. It's not just the shield, but also the sword, i.e. weaponry. That word signifies both the armour to defend and the weapon to attack. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How that glorious work of salvation in Christ Jesus is set before us in Ephesians chapter 1. The eternal purposes of God in predestination, election, before the foundation of the world, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What safety there is for the church there. And that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. There should be sons of God, rather. The Lord has bestowed such love upon vile, wretched sinners, that we should be called the sons of God. Unto the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There we have the precious blood of Christ. Well, when our Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what wrestlings there were there. That hymn that we sung alluded to that. There he was pressed to the ground for sorrow, exceeding sorrowful. His soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. His sufferings were not just in the body, but in the soul. He laid down his life, a sacrifice for sin. He obeyed the law, body and soul. And thus he redeemed not only the body, but also the soul of his people. Delivered them out of soul trouble, delivered them not just from bodily diseases, but from their spiritual disease. Made perfectly whole. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane, what sufferings, what horror of darkness came upon him as in his sacred humanity bore the sins of his beloved people. And how he was pressed to the ground and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And how close, as it were, those enemies came to him. Judas came and kissed him. Said, Master, Master. And came and kissed him. That one who had come to betray him. And that kiss was only the sign to the others that had come in that band of armed men. It was a sign in the darkness as to which of the number was Jesus. To whichever one that he should kiss, seize him, was the command and instructions that Judas had given. Came so close to the Lord and kissed him. But it was the kiss of an enemy. And those others, they took Jesus. They bound him. They took him. They judged him. Now as we read, so often, alas, we pass by these things so cursorily. Just pass over the words. How he who is the eternal Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth in his human nature, there to be judged, set at naught. They spat upon him. They smote him, hit him in the face. They blindfolded him and hit him and said, "Thou Christ, prophesy, thou Christ. Who hit thee? Who smote thee?" The soldiers, the Roman soldiers came near. And they placed a crown of thorns on his head. They scourged him. They came to him and smote him over the head with that reed. That crown of thorns wasn't just lightly placed on his head, but was beaten into his head. And how close they came to him when they put his hand upon that cross, the wood of the cross, and nailed his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross. And they came to the foot of the cross and they mocked him too. One came with a sponge with vinegar on it in his thirst and his sufferings. Yet, he triumphed. He was triumphing over them. How our Lord Jesus Christ wrought the victory. Although they thought they were gaining the victory, they were rejoicing to see Christ there suffering, rejoicing to mock him. But there the Lord wrought the victory, though they knew it not. There he shed his precious blood. There he laid down his life, a sacrifice for sin. He who had wrought out perfect righteousness in his obedience to the law, that those who are naked, disobedient rebels, may be clothed upon with his glorious righteousness. And so we look at these weapons or armour, the whole armour of God. That it all is through the precious work of and grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And as we must pray that the Lord would grant us grace and mercy, that we may be clothed upon these with this heavenly armour, we must ask, in faith, in the name of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And there must be a putting on. As I said earlier, we'll not just do to walk past the armour, as it were, in a glass cabinet. There must be a putting on. And there must be a walking in it. When a soldier puts on that armour, it's not just to stay where he is, it's to go forth in battle. There must be a walking in God's ways, and as so many of the Lord's servants have observed, there was no armour for the back. We do not read here of an armament for the back, or a shield for the back. We're only showing forth that armour to the enemy as we go forward in the call of God. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, was the word unto Moses at the Red Sea. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, the first of the armour of God is truth. The word of God is true. The calling of God is true. Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth and the life. And how that should be in all our lives, that which we're seeking to walk in as truth in our conversation, in our dealings, in our churches, in our ministry, truth. If we have not the truth, we are in error. There's no in-between between true and false. Do you know the truth? Is it your desire to walk in the truth? If you have no desire for the truth is not in you. And where there is the work of the Spirit, there is desire, longing, a praying after truth. Oh, that we may, by grace, God's grace, walk in the truth. Loins girt about with truth. Well, the clothes in those ancient times in Eastern, and even today in Eastern lands, long flowing garments are needed about girding them about to go forth, lest we trip ourselves up on such garments. Loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, laying hold of that by faith, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, that's not peace with the devil, it is peace with God. Peace by his blood hath Jesus, by his cross hath Jesus made. Precious peace. And if we are partakers of the peace, shall there not be that desire that we be at peace one with another, the Lord's, our spiritual brethren in Christ Jesus? We should not turn aside to fight with one another. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We have in the book of Genesis, one of the children of Israel, Naphtali. That name means in Hebrew, my wrestlings. And there was that wrestling between Leah and Rachel, between two sisters even. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed, and she called his name Naphtali, which means my wrestlings. Well, I fear at times as we're often found wrestling against our brethren, when we ought to be labouring together in peace and in truth and in humility, rather than fighting one another. So unedifying it is to find that within a church, or those that can't speak to one another, though they sit around the same, in the same church, listening to the same ministry, with the same Bible, worshipping the same Lord, we hope, yet they cannot speak a civil word to one another. Who are you fighting? Who are we fighting? There'll be no profit in fighting one another. Oh, that we may know the gospel of peace. Not peace with the devil and evil. But I've got peace with God in Christ Jesus and that true fellowship, one with another. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But after we read the solemn wrestlings between Rachel and Leah, well, these things were overruled in God's providence and God's sovereignty. But we then read of a more, shall we say, edifying wrestling. Not that it is unprofitable to read of between Leah and Rachel, but I mean this, and that is us there as a warning to us. But here we have Jacob wrestling at Brook Jabbok. I mentioned this morning, but we'll in closing mention it again. But we see here that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. There we see that that man, Lord Jesus Christ, there in that pre-incarnate appearance. And Jacob discerned that he'd seen the face of God, and he'd lived. But it wasn't that Jacob started wrestling first. The word of God is very clear. And there wrestled a man with him. There we see the preeminence of God in salvation. If we are to be wrestling as we ought with God in with our Lord in prayer, that the Lord would deliver us in this warfare. For Jacob there was faced with Esau, imminent destruction, it would seem. Sentence of death upon him. And there he wrestled. Rather, a man came and wrestled with him. If we are found pressing, wrestling with God in prayer, in that warfare, Lord, deliver me. Lord, give me that strength. It is because the Lord has given us those desires. Although we may not know that in our extremity, we have to give God the glory afterwards. We cannot say, well, it's because I wrestled with God, that it's because the Lord drew us. The Lord gave us a desire. The Lord gave us faith to see that is the deliverance, rather than wrestling with one another or trying in our own strength in this warfare. It's the Lord that gave the precious gift of faith and gives according to his grace and mercy. And in this race, wrestling, Jacob's thigh was touched so that it was out of joint. He had to be brought to be weak. And so do we. The Lord brings us down in our own strength that we may be strong in Christ Jesus. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, that is, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, which means a prince of God. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. There he received the blessing. Now Jacob had to go on from that point, halting, that is, limping, upon that thigh that was put out of joint. He couldn't go on from that point in his natural strength as he had before. But he had a staff that he leant upon. We read of that staff later, I believe many years later, when he was with Joseph in Israel, in Egypt. But that staff, there it is a type of Christ. There he went forward in whatever trials, and there were many trials that he had to face, but there Christ was with him. Our Lord Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And Jacob leant upon his staff, and so must you, and so must I. Contrary to nature, we are weak. But by God's grace, in Christ Jesus, we are strong, leaning upon him, and thus we must go forward, ever remembering that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For the risen Lord Jesus Christ has risen far above. In union with him, in him we are risen. In him we are brought to the right hand of the Father, each one of the Lord's people, every true believer. Therefore, let us look unto him. In whatever calling that we have, there will be a warfare. Whatever calling of God we have, there will be a warfare. But he is faithful as promised. For our God is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. And the Lord will defend his people, and he will bring us to glory. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £880, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ramsbottom next Lord's Day. God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom will address the Sunday School and present the prizes. Our friends at Oakington hope to hold their New Year services on Wednesday, and the funeral of Mrs. Cooper will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow, God willing. Let us close with hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Hymn 303.
Thank you.
Now, O Lord, do grant us thy blessing as we part. We do thank thee for the strength given for this service. And, O Lord, may the word be blessed by thy Holy Spirit. Do take us to our homes in peace and safety, we pray, this night. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and evermore. Amen.